Vasudevaya. For this first discovery class doing your holy name immersion this year. The subject matter is quite intriguing. I dealt with it a little in New Vrindavan, but now I feel confident to do this put light from all perspectives on this. The subject is draw your mind into the heart. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam.
Nalam dvijatvam devatvam.
Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinaya mukundasya. Navritam nabahu gyata. Nadanam natapo neja. Good. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasudatmaja. Prenanaya mukundasya. Navritam nabahu gyata. Can we have one devotee please chant? Yes, for brevity's sake, we will go directly into the text. This is Prahlad Maharaj giving a subversive talk. He is in the school, the teachers are out, and he transforms the classroom into Bhagavatam Katha place. He speaks to the sons of the demons and he wants to show them the essence of bhakti. They are already friendly towards him and ready to hear, but he wants to now tell them what is show bottle bhakti and what is real bhakti. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas. You cannot even please him by becoming a big demigod or great saint. You can't please him by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Nor can you please the Lord by charity, giving a lot and charity. By austerity you cannot please him. By sacrifice it you can't clean please him. By cleanliness, even under the armpits, you can't, sorry, that is not there. By cleanliness you can't please him. By vows you can't satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. So there can be sacrifices, charity, good etiquette, vast learning. And I would like to add a very musical kirtan could be there. But the Lord is not pleased if one has not unflinching, unalloyed devotion to him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Patanare Sadarine. So Prabhupada gives us this purpose to this verse. Quite thought-provoking verse. Prahlad Maharaj concludes here that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a brahmana, demigod, rishi, and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mangananyavak sadueva samantavya samyak vyasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, wow, so no charity, what to speak of no yagya. This is someone who really does a lot of mistakes. He creates the most abominable actions. If he is engaged in devotional service, he is still to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. Now, Krishna's idea is he's on the right path. Okay, he makes mistakes left and right, but because the path is perfect, he will be purified in due course of time, and also these mistakes will go, no? To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Wow! It means all what we do here is meant for this one goal, and if eventually it does not come, we are wasting our time. I remember in this connection a Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada by one esteemed God brother. He described the phenomenal successes of ISKCON India, where so many millions of books were distributed last year. And Srila Prabhupada was recognized in the Kumbh Mela as the Vishwa Guru, means the guru of the entire universe. Imagine, this honor was never given before to any one spiritual leader of India, but because of, I guess, because of Prabhupada's international effect, he was granted this. These are all very great successes in the preaching. But then this devotee, I will not mention his name because what he says will now really pinch us in our heart. He said, but there's one big concern. There are so many politics going on, so much in-house fighting, so much groupism, not this group, that group, and so on. I'm reminded, I'm asking, in what society have I come? Because this devotee made the point, wanted to make the point, the goal of all of this is not material successes of becoming famous, becoming a famous kirtan leader perhaps, or a famous author, or a famous swami, or a famous movement. No, we are sitting in the classroom of the lovers of God, and we want to learn to love. This is what it's all about. Now, the thing is, this love for Krishna is given by Krishna's mercy, and Krishna is impressed not by these external things, because he's Atmarama, he doesn't need anything. He's not a needy person, a needy God, and so on. He is really only attracted and willing to enter a loving bond with someone when he sees a sincere bhakti devotional service. There is this endearing scene which Rupa Goswami describes. Krishna is coming on Garuda to the town Kundina. Rukmini, the princess of Kundini, had written him a letter. In the letter she stated, "Tomorrow is my arranged marriage with someone who's against you. I don't want to marry this person. Please come and kidnap me tomorrow on my day of marriage, because I want to be with you only." Quite blunt, no? So the letter comes to Dwaraka and is read to Krishna very, very late. And it's not possible to travel in that short amount of time by chariot to Kundina. So Krishna, in this particular time, gets on the fastest transport. Who? Garuda. So they approach, they descend almost like an airplane, Kundina, and they come at the moment where Rukmini steps out of the Durga Mandir, where she has said prayers. And the moment she steps out, Krishna and Garuda see this. All those who are assembled are totally blinded by Rukmini's beauty. Rukmini is so unearthly or divinely beautiful that all eyes are riveted on her. There are princes on horses, on elephants, on chariots, and they all look at the breathtaking beauty of Rukmini, and it is so absolutely flabbergasting means overwhelming, that they lose their composure and their grip, and they fall from their horses, elephants, and chariots. Peng! I've only seen this once. There was a guru kuli, and he saw another lady guru kuli. And the lady guru kuli was very attractively very presentable, with a good ointment and belly button fully exposed to public vision, nice this and that. I'm not so good in describing female beauty, but yes, someone already faints. And this poor man, it was really starting to sweat. I saw profound perspiration coming through his pores. Beauty can be overwhelming. I think you all know, when you have an exceptional nature beauty also, the valley and the lake and the sunrise, you say, wow, I'm breathless, I can't talk. So this was happening when Rukmini came out of the temple. She was so absolutely beautiful. I think we have not seen such beauty in our lifetime, and it had a profound effect on. Yes, this beauty discussion must be on the video. She had a profound effect on all those who saw her. So at this moment, Garuda and Krishna are descending, and Garuda looks back to Krishna and says, look at the unearthly beauty of Rukmini, your future wife. Garuda knows Krishna will kidnap Rukmini before the eyes of all these princes and kings, including her would-be husband, Shishupal. And Krishna says very thoughtfully, Garuda, I'm not impressed by material beauty or any material wealth and so on. I am only impressed by devotion. And Rukmini is fully devoted to me in her heart. That is the quality. There are, if you want to read about Krishna's reaction to material beauty, feminine beauty, I want to direct you to the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 36. There, the Bhagavatam says, when Krishna came to Dwaraka, 16,108 queens were there to welcome him. They had beautiful smiles and furtive glances. They were spotless and very exciting in their female beauty. And although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and magical attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, this is because the Lord is all perfect, Atmarama, or self-sufficient. He does not require anyone's extraneous help for his personal satisfaction. So you can't please the Lord by concentrated japa. You can't please him by musical kirtan. He looks for something else. He doesn't need all this. He looks for ekanti bhakti, single-minded bhakti. Where can you obtain this attractive feature? Where can you obtain this bhakti so that your japa, your kirtan, your other services are pervaded by love. Where can you obtain it? Brothers and sisters, I will tell you now a secret. Listen carefully. Where do all people effortlessly attain pure prema or love for Sri Krishna? Sri Krishna Ekanta Bhava. Where is Lord Krishna's most amazing form meant for his Leela pastimes manifest? Where do you, can you see Krishna? In what place, I asked you, is the greatest level of bliss available of worshipping Krishna's lotus feet? Oh brother, oh sister, I will tell you now a secret. Please listen attentively. All this is manifest in Vrindavan. Yes, this is Prabodhananda Saraswati's statement. He says in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, if you want love, if you want to see the form of Krishna, if you want to have bliss, run to Vrindavan. Why? Because Vrindavan is the place of this single-minded love. Prabhupada once said, any associate of Krishna, his cowherd boyfriends, or calves, or cows, or the Vrindavan trees, plants, flowers, water. Water, wow. This is in Vrindavan, this is a devotee, you know, the water. So we can't drink him. They are all devotees of Krishna. They serve Krishna in different capacities. Somebody is serving Krishna as an animal. Somebody is serving Krishna as a tree with fruits and flowers, as Yamuna water, or as the beautiful cowherd men and damsels, or as Krishna's father and mother. Krishna has so many who love him, and he also loves them. So, run to Vrindavan. But what you need to do in Vrindavan is not just go there, you need to listen from devotees and serve devotees. This is the second thing, you need to selflessly serve devotees who have this Ekanti Bhakti. And the last point to attain love of Godhead is chanting the holy names. Sarvamatya sarvashrestha nama sankirtana nidaparadhe nama loila paya prema dana. Beautiful, no? Of the nine processes of devotional service, says, what are the nine processes, please? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, yes, Achanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These are all nine processes, starting with hearing about Krishna, chanting his name, Sankirtan, and Smaran, remembering him always. The most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, chanting, with an additional attention to avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. I've just drunk a devotee. No, this is not a class for Vrindavan. I'm just joking. My dear devotees, we have heard this many times and still it doesn't work. Is there something we have overlooked? My dear devotees, there is something which needs to be known by all those who want to chant. I take what I will say now from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and from various wisdom traditions, because it is my firm conviction, if there is in spirituality something which is true, it will be true and will be found in other traditions as well. It is universal true. In the Bible also you hear, from morning till evening one should sing the names of God, and King David was found to dance. He was a king and chanted and so on. What is true spiritually cannot be true only in a small group. It must be found all over the world, in fact all over the universe, because Krishna is present everywhere. But let us enter through our tradition. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, you will find a beautiful scene. The Lord greets the Navadvip Vasis, residents of Navadvip, in the morning before Srivas Thakur's house. And he looks at them. They have been with him in all his avatars, as Vamana, as Vara, and so on. They are his eternal associates. And he says to them, chant always these names as they are found in the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And in the purport to this text, it's Madhya Lila 23, text 75, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur makes a remark how you can chant and achieve the perfection of chanting. He says, one achieves perfection in chanting mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls his material attached mind. My dear devotees, there are three hearts. The pump, which pumps 7,500 liters of blood in a day through your system. That's something, no? Liters, 7,500 liters. There is the emotional heart, which you feel, we will have a holy name, immersion check-in the day after tomorrow, where you can come and discuss with the kirtaniyas who are with us here any issues which might come up. I think for Mataji some emotions will be churned. We will start from the workshop today to start to churn the heart a little, no? And there will be an emotional check-in so that you can discuss with Achyuta Gopi, and that's for the Matajis, and for the men we will have Amala Harinam, the Bhakti brothers, Sachi Sutta, and other devotees, and so on. Yes, the God, emotional heart needs to be watched. But there is also the spiritual heart. It's the heart in which you are sitting with your eternal friend, the Lord in the heart. And when you chant, you must find that place in your heart and keep the sound there. This will bring you perfection. I remember as a child, I learned two disciplines, bicycling and swimming. And I remember I had learned the mechanics of bicycling with the pedals, keep them going, those pedals, no? But I didn't know balance and I always fell. I still remember my knees. I mean, I don't want to expose them, but I fell very badly because I didn't give up. It's still visible. You can chant, but you need to know the secret to keep the vibrated sound within your heart. And then when you know that your material attached mind will go and ruminate in those places, you know, the football field. I know we have some devoted footballers here. You know, wherever the material, sexuality is a big subject for the materially attached mind, you know, you need to control it and bring it back. How to do this, we will learn. You must know, my dear devotees, you have one faculty, the human heart, which is different from the animals and which even AI will never reach. AI can copy all human thoughts, expressions. Soon there will be AI programs that speak to you in different voices according to the need of the hour, and they will praise you when you are dejected with psychologically accurate ways which no therapeut can even imagine, you know. But they will not reach, they will not be able to have what you will hear now. We as humans, animals and AI, they can strive towards goals. They can be imitating fury and so on. But there is a spiritual faculty in the heart which is only privy to yourself, independent of the intellect. It's the conscience or the consciousness of our spirit. I'm speaking of the longing for God, which comes when you are looking at your life. You have done everything, you have heard everything, you went to every retreat, you bought the t-shirt, and all. But the longing for God is still there. The longing for true love towards the Lord. Feelings of repentance. Oh, why am I so slow? Feelings of humility or meekness. Deep sadness because of our failures, embarrassing failures. All these and other spiritual feelings are foreign to animals and foreign to AI and so on. You have an intellectual faculty. AI also has more than you, at least more than me, you know. But there is something in you, these feelings of longing, this desire for love, this sadness, honest sadness, which is the grounding stones or fundament of true humility, which only you have. But if you don't know how to access it, if you don't know how to come from the level of the mind where you are active in when you need to go through your day, when you don't know how to come out of the level of the intelligence which you need to solve certain challenges in your day, when you don't know how to draw your intellect and mind into your heart, you will never awaken these feelings. You will never awaken. You will never cry tears of love. You will always remain light years away from true spirituality. Only when the union of the mind with the heart happens, the union of our thoughts with the deep spiritual feelings that reside in the heart, will you be able to become a chanter, a lover of God. Chanting must come from the heart. Any other chanting is not chanting at all. You may have many instructions, many books, many nice melodies. What did we hear? You may be a perfect Brahmana. You may be a demigod. My God, a demigod. Gita, the demigoddess, brilliant, dressed, not in a Finnish way, but in a big way. You may be a great saint. You will not please the Lord. You may be perfectly good in etiquette. You may have vast learning. You may have given millions into charity. All this, Bharat says, does not awaken the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord is pleased only by this thing which is residing in the heart, devotion, love, longing for Him. And therefore, you must draw your attention there. I'm now more than 50 years in the international attempt to become Krishna conscious. And I have noted in myself and in others, oops, this microphone is not, now I should work, something. I was very enthusiastic when I joined the movement for Krishna consciousness. I was just 16, entering my 17th birthday. I was very unqualified in many ways, very immature. What do you expect from a 17-year-old rebel against modern society? You can't expect much. But I remember I saw this as my chance. I had faith in Prabhupada because he had convinced me by his tremendous integrity of being a devotee himself. And I felt very enthusiastic. It was still a little immature. For instance, I would walk barefoot in the snow because I thought, if I'm not the body, I don't need boots. Very immature, foolish, I would say now. I'm now going with shoes, by the way. But there was a great belief, a great expectancy, that I can also develop Krishna consciousness, even me. Prabhupada instilled this in our heart. And there was nothing else in my mind, not even the Rolling Stones, which I was a little bit impressed before Krishna consciousness. I was very, very convinced, very enthusiastic. This helped me to overcome the austerities of the early days. We were very poor. We did not have hot water for showering in the winter. To take a cold water shower was simply unknown to me. I had never done this in my life, and so on. But inside of me, there was a flame which Prabhupada had placed there, a flame of conviction, of enthusiasm, of determination. I have seen this with all young devotees. I still am, but I was very much a frontline preacher. I met so many people, intelligent people, and so many students. I begged them, please wait this 1-3 more months that you finish your bachelor or your university degree or anything. 3 more months, you can do it. No, no, I will never need this. I will never need this. I will join this moment. Please. No. Satchinandan, we don't follow you. You are less enthusiastic. You believe in mundane education. I have seen things. That is all what I can say. I have seen devotees going back to the university. And it's difficult for them if they have not finished their thing. I could not convince them. I have few disciples, brilliant in mind, but I couldn't convince them. And they thought, they told me, we are not yet surrendered to any authority. We can do what we want when we will not finish our university. Immature, but a strong, strong connection with the spirit. The living spirit, which only wants to rejoin the Lord and to the exclusion of all others. Immature, but the flame, we consider the flame. And therefore, many devotees are very blissful when they have this burning fire burning within them. But I have seen that it has gone down over years, that devotees, despite their best efforts, are not able to resist old attachments which they have, and who then, after fighting for 2 years, give up the fight and so on. And I want to introduce today, I personally think the cure is, if you learn this technique to draw your mind away from the mind platform, from the intellectual platform, from the sensual platform, the body, and you bring it into the heart where it associates with these deeply spiritual feelings which reside there, which are unique to your being, human. In this connection, I remember something which I spoke about a few days ago. When the first Russian devotees were finally getting visas to come to India, something amazing happened. They had been tortured in psychological hospitals, in prisons, and so on, and finally they stepped out of the air, out of the bus, and touched the land of Vrindavan. They paid their obeisances. A huge feast had been arranged. Two sannyasis, in particular, had arranged a carefully designed plan. They had put soft sand before the place where the prasadam distribution for the Russian devotees would go on, and they had cooked tremendous amounts of prasadam so that there would be extras. Their plan was to get the Mahaprasadam in the dust. So they put the heaps of prasadam on the plates of these Russian devotees, so much that they couldn't eat it. And they when the Russian devotees were gone to their rooms, they ate all the Mahaprasadam which was left by them, because they wanted to get that determination which would lead them on in the face of all temptations, you know, when there is a gun on your head, and they first shoot in your foot to show that they are serious, and they say Krishna is not real. they said in different words. Then you have to consider what you do at that time. So they wanted, the sannyasi Thakurs wanted to get the determination. They wanted to get the fire, the inside fire in their hearts. And they wanted to get it by eating the Mahaprasad and rubbing the dust of the devotees over their heads. So the devotees, the Russian devotees, went away from this place where they took prasadam. The sannyasis dived into the prasadam and afterwards smeared the dust over their head. And when the devotees heard this, they were miserable. There was one devotee, his name was Sannyas, and he had a brother, Kamala. I met them when we went to Russia. Kamala something, now I don't remember the last portion. And they said, when they heard that they were worshipped so much, that their food remnants were eaten in big quantities and the dust was rubbed, and they said, in the prison they took our freedom from us, but here our bhakti is taken from us. This is much worse. They worship us like living heroes. We might believe that and become attached again to the body and the mind and all this. And then the other, this was what Sannyas Prabhu said, and the Kamala Kanta perhaps, I'm not so sure about the entire name, said, after all, Queen Kunti was right. And those who don't remember right now, he thought of a verse where Queen Kunti is praised to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please send us repeatedly dangers, and because at that time we could easily turn to you. This comfort is not good for us, because we will become comfortable and not turn to you. This is a prayer, no? You remember from the 8th chapter of the first canto. Bhakti is the essence of what we want to do. Love is the essence, and for that you need to know where to find it. Yes, we said in Vrindavan, but not on Loi Bazaar in Vrindavan, or in political talks, or what is he doing, how is she dressed. Not in this type of thought and mindset. You have to come to the area. The area is there. It is within all of us. It's in the heart where the soul and its eternal friend, Krishna, lives. And you need to come from there in your kirtan. You need to come from that place of genuine humility. And so on. A good example which I want to put before your eyes is the devotee Kabir. He was a family man, and he worked the whole day very hard to support his family. He was a weaver, and he weaved cloth, but with every stitch which he did, you know, it's about going ching, 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 ching. He was saying Ram, 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 Ram. So in effect, he passed his whole day blissfully chanting the name of Ram. So he sang a song, the song of the weaver. It is one of my favorite lyrics. Lord, it's there, please follow. Lord, I weave the cloth of thy name. The fruitless toil or work of weaving for the world has come to an end. I have attained the dazzling state of bliss. Wow, such good English. Free from fear, free from pain, I'm the weaver of thy name. Say with me, free from fear, free from pain. I'm the weaver, O Lord, of thy name. Yes. I weave and reap the profit of inner rapport. It's a relationship with you. I'm the weaver of the Lord's name. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta, he gives us, you know, to come to such a level means one achieves perfection in chanting the name when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls his materially attached mind. Hare Krishna. You are so silent. Is this because you're listening or because of lack of oxygen? Both. No, listening. Should we open more the windows or? Free from fear, free from pain, I'm the weaver of your name. This happens when you can draw your mind into the heart and from there look into the world with devotion, and whenever you see your mind wandering, bring it back. This is what I wanted to say today, and I'm so proud of my, not proud really, but yes, I'm celebrating a success because I'm ready before 9 and can take some questions. Please ask your question. How to do this, we will do in the workshop. No? It will hear only. Does this register draw the mind? In the heart, and what was it? And control the materially attached mind. Can you understand something from this? There is a platform when you sing from the heart, you know. When this means really to sing with devotion, to sing. With mindfulness, I'm doing this for of Krishna. I know some kirtan leaders prefer to close their eyes until they are in that space and can concentrate on the Lord. Others have done this by chanting and singing before the deities. I know in our movement there are two sitting ideas during kirtan. One is facing the group, facing the other chanters, like in giving a program to the stage program, and the other is facing God and facing the altar, so that one is mindful of whom one sings. It means entering the longing mood, Lord, I really miss you, and so on. But there is a very interesting little technique which we will hear about in the workshop. It's a well-kept secret. I hope it doesn't slip out of my tongue. So any questions you have at this stage? I'm scanning my audience. Here's Gita, who has a question. I cannot see you. Who are you, please? Yes, let's start with these two questions. Gita, yes? A microphone. I don't know how to do that. We have our sound people? Someone? There's only one wireless mic. If you want, you can. Can they use this microphone, which is there for the kirtan? Won't, no, yeah. Gita, we have to do like this, yes.
So,
actually, I can give you mine.
Thank you so much for the lecture. So we know that we're supposed to approach Krishna through Radharani, and we hear this all the time, and when we chant the holy name, we of course first address Radharani as Hare. But she so rarely talked about, at least not like in a direct and tangible way, and always so hidden, and even in our scriptures, or at least the ones that I can read in this beginner stage, she's not mentioned so much, and I'm only learning how to see Krishna as a close God. But then Radharani is in the distance, and so I feel like this principle of approaching Krishna through Radha is turned the other way around, the opposite, and so how to reconcile this.
Hare Krishna. You're so young somehow. So we don't hear so much about Radharani. She is a well-kept secret. Yet we hear we can approach Krishna only through Srimati Radharani. Radharani is a very big subject matter. There is a reason why she is kept so hidden in the Vedic scripture. She's only indirectly mentioned in the Bhagavatam, indirectly, by using the word anaradita. There's one person who worshipped Krishna the best, and there's the word Shukha Muni says, Shukadev Goswami says, Anya Radhika, no? There's the word is in the Sanskrit compound. Yes. You start your God realization with Brahman, the God is everywhere present. Then those who progress, they understand he is in the heart also, and he can be approached there as Paramatma. And then those who still progress, they understand he is a personal God. And those who still progress, they understand he's not one, he's Radha and Krishna. We are served these subject matters in the first class, in the first lecture, when we come to the temple. But have we understood any of that? Have we understood how God is present everywhere? Do we turn, when we have difficulties, to psychology, to coaching, to others? Or do we go to the friend, the best friend in the heart? Our knowledge is theoretical. It's like a bird without wings. It does not fly. So therefore, knowing well that it is, it takes a purification of the heart to come to these realizations. The higher realizations are kept secret. They are not kept hidden. They are not locked. When your purity is developing, you will all of a sudden think Radhe, Radhe, Radha Rani, and it will go on day and night and so on. But that has to come natural. This is what Prabhupada's teaching, where Prabhupada is different from a teacher, all other teachers, also many Gaudiya preachers. He wants us to go through the process so that what we have is not imagined fruits, but real fruits, because only these real things can help us in our life. But if you want to know about Radharani, Gita, when this desire came in me, I found out, wow, there's so much there. But you need to do it on your own, you know. the responsible preachers will not talk about the confidential leelas. Because the danger is that we understand Radha like an ordinary girl of this world. Jiva Goswami speaks about this danger. He says, when we hear Krishna Katha and the male or female organ becomes agitated, we should put this immediately to the side. So there is knowledge in the tradition of misunderstanding, no? And careful is like this. Yeah, but Gita, so much. I mean, if you want, I can also talk a little about Radharani sometimes. A little bit. But I will do this more in a small circle. Hare Krishna. Yes, there was another, there was a devotee, and then we will end. Why is Krishna so hard to get? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he is easy to get when you chant his holy name. And Prabhupada adds, in other processes we are trying to approach God, but in chanting the Lord approaches us. He comes to us on his own strength, his initiative. So I think you are at the proper place, Holy Name Immersion Retreat, where you will hopefully become wet with the Holy Name due to the immersion. And then you will see it is not so hard. The difficulty is, my dear devotee, we chose to be separate from God. And we have to now change this separate, independent mentality into a mentality. We have to change it. It's a total paradigm shift. I want to end with a paradigm shift which I told to Anandamurti Prabhu and Yoginda Prabhu yesterday. Have you heard there's a lot of flooding in Vrindavan at the moment? And people have lost their homes. And I saw a video from the Indian television where the reporter was there and said, oh, it's so dramatic here. The Yamuna drove over the high level, high danger level. It's so dramatic. It's so. And then he pointed, see here, there was a dog on the roof. Even the dog is concerned, you know. I thought the dogs always look like this when they are on the roof. And when Darwin dogs are on roofs, that is normal. So then he turned to a group of people. They were up till here, up to the waist in the water, and said, in Hindi, how do you respond to this tragedy? You know. And there was a person, you know, swimming in this attire, you know, in this round thing. I very happy. And the others all were smiling and very happy. Yamuna ji, coming to my house. I very happy. And we phoned to one devotee there whom we know, one rich Vasi, and said yes, when they built the dam so many years ago, Yamuna moved away from Vrindavan. Now she's in Vrindavan. Paradigm shift. Not looking with mundane eyes, looking with a different set of eyes. Then when you have these different set of eyes, you can see Krishna everywhere. Hare Krishna. So we have come to our end here. I want to thank you all very much. Please let us now move on to take prasadam in the prasadam room, and we will meet here again at 11 o'clock sharp for the workshop. Please be, we have 2 hours now. There's enough time to eat 20 pizzas, enough time, but please be there on time. Hare Krishna.